Right now, let's talk some Texas Rangers baseball. He was named Rangers manager back in November. He spent three seasons as part of Dave Roberts' staff with the LA Dodgers. He was the 54th pick back in 1994. Texas is playing good ball right now. They're second in the AL West. They're at Boston this evening. Chris Woodward is my guest. Chris, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Jim?
Good, good. Lots to cover, but let me ask you about last night. You beat Boston 4-3 in 11 innings. I want to get into some of the details of the performance you got from your starting pitcher, Mike Minor. But overall, how pleased were you with the way the team battled last night?
You know, it's not surprising for me. These guys, we talked about it, from spring training on, just how important it is to be resilient. And, we use the word relentless a lot, and that's something that has defined our ball club, and it started off in the first couple series of the season, and it's kind of snowballed into what it is now. It's our guys believe no matter what the score is or how many we're down, or we're going to put up a fight and give ourselves a chance to win a game. So you saw that last night, and tough ballpark, obviously, and our guys loved it, man. They loved the energy there, and came up with a win.
Rangers manager Chris Woodward joining us. All right, so back to Minor. He didn't get the decision last night, but he did go head-to-head with Chris Sale, and he went eight innings. He allowed four hits, two runs. He struck out six. When you're a starting pitcher, every time you take the mound, it's a chance to make a statement. What kind of a statement did he make last night?
I think going into the game, it was, RAs versus their A's, and, we all know Chris Sale. He's one of the nastiest pitchers in baseball, and our hitters knew that. We prepared heavily for him, but I think Mike kind of took that as a chip on his shoulder to kind of show the league that he's not too bad himself. And after giving up two runs in the first two hitters, what he did after that, obviously put eight zeros up after that, and got us within one through eight, and we ended up pulling it out in the end.
So, Chris, the team was coming off a 67-win season last year, which is going to take a toll on everybody. When you first arrived, you were talking about the process and focusing on that and not the results. What was your mindset coming into this season?
I use the word champion a lot. I'm trying to get these guys to understand that, from what I've witnessed in my career and the things that I believe in that create winning cultures and winning ball clubs, you have to be a champion in every sense of the word. Everything we do on and off the field, every one of our processes, whether it's, going to the batting cage or what you eat that day, what time you go to bed that night, all those things factor into your performance. And, game planning and studying and teaching these guys to think on a much higher level. I think it's a process. I mean, we know that guys are where they are, and we just keep pushing them forward. And I think that these guys have embraced that. And at the same time, the end goal is to win a game. And, I believe if you're ready to go out there, you're prepared, you've done everything you can actually enjoy that process of playing the game, of competing at the highest level and going toe-to-toe with the best. And, I don't shy away from expectations or shy away from, what's staring us right in the face. And, I talk about that a lot, and I want our guys to embrace that.
Texas Rangers manager Chris Woodward joining us here in the jungle. Now, at the same time, you are in second in the AL West. You're five games over 500. From the outside, it would seem like you might even be running ahead of schedule. Does it feel that way to you, or is this pretty much what you expected?
I want to win. I want to win a World Series this year. I said that many times. But, where we are right now, I try not to get caught up in the wins and losses. And, obviously, I know exactly where we're at. We're two games ahead of these guys. We're two games ahead of Cleveland. I'm not shy about that. But at the same time, I don't want to lose sight of where we are in our processes, in our belief, and as far along as these players have come, we still have a long way to go to get to our ultimate goal. And that's, just being a fine-tuned machine that, every time we step on the field, we feel like we're the best team. And, that's something that I want our players to keep striving forward. As a group and then also as individuals, they have their own individual goals that they want to achieve and get to, and we're helping them get there. But it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort, from our staff. We have a tremendous staff, tremendous organization, backing all these guys, and I think the players feel that.
Chris, listen, I don't want you to have to pick up the name that I'm about to drop. However, I've been texting with a guy that you know pretty well the last couple of days. Just out of pure coincidence. If we were to go back a little bit, because your journey to this point is really pretty remarkable. You're from Covina, California, and you knew my guy Michael Young back in the day. When did you first meet him? And what
he was by far the best player growing up in my area in Covina. And we went to junior high school together, and that was kind of the first time I think maybe I met him and actually, you know, became friends with him. I think we may have played against each other at some point before that, but he was honestly like a legend growing up. He was, like I said, head and shoulders above everybody else. And when I got a chance to actually go to school to him, get to know him a little bit, and I got to know who he was, pretty cocky as a kid, you know, and I know he's, it's amazing talking to him now and just seeing the quality of the person. Like, I knew he was a good guy and he's a good friend, but what he is now, I mean, you know, he is heavily beloved, obviously, in the Texas area, and especially in Arlington, as one of the greatest, you know, Texas Rangers ever play. And it's been awesome to get back in touch with him and kind of reconnect. And we kind of go over old stories, and they've had us, you know, do a few things together and talk about old times. So it's been fun kind of rekindling those old memories that I have of when we were young. And at one point I actually lived within two blocks of him, you know, growing up. So we definitely go way back, but I'm not surprised by any of the success that he had, because he was such a good player growing up.
Listen, I appreciate your thoughts on him. Now, this guy's an absolute stud, both on and off the field. But again, you were not too shabby yourself. I did mention off the top, you were taken in 54th in 1994. You not only made it to the majors, is it true that you got there before Young? And if so, how often did you let him know about that?
I let him know about that. That was something that, it, you know, not a lot of people realize, but it meant a lot to me because of how good he was. He went to UC Santa Barbara. I went to 1 year junior college.
Yeah, he did.
You know, by the time I got to the big leagues, you know, we actually got drafted by the same team. So he signed with the Blue Jays, but I was a year ahead of him because I was already in the organization. So he got traded to Texas. I don't know if it was 2000, but I got to the big leagues a year before him. And in 2002, the first year he actually got a chance to play on an everyday basis, I had a better year that year. And then the rest of his career was much, much better than mine. I definitely tell him about that every time I see him.
Yeah, I want to be very clear about this. Not 54th overall. You were taken in the 54th round, and although he was a legend in the area and one of the best players you saw growing up, you did beat him to the major leagues. Now, and I mentioned UC Santa Barbara. You did. I went there as well. That's why he and I were texting. We've got a really, really good coach at UC Santa Barbara by the name of Andrew Checkitz, who's getting a lot of attention from other schools. So we were kind of chopping that up a little bit. Now, by one count, you played for 11 different managers in the majors, and a number of them were first-time managers. What kind of an impact did those managers have on you and how you approach your job right now?
Yeah, I think it definitely helped. When I got done playing, you know, I started my last couple of years, I wrote down a lot of my beliefs and philosophies. I knew I was going to get into coaching. So I started writing down things that were dear to me and how I would do things, you know, from a coaching standpoint and from a managerial standpoint, organizational standpoint. And so I, you know, kind of looked back and remembered all those, and I didn't realize it at the time, until I started writing down all the names, and I realized, holy cow, like there's a lot of not only managers, but like first year managers, which, you know, is kind of odd. Not a lot of guys play for that many first year managers, with like 9 or 10 first year managers. So, you know, you kind of take from each one, you kind of understand, okay, I like that about that. I like that about him, about that about him. I didn't like that. So you kind of just, you know, put things together and develop an understanding of, you know, what I value and what I feel like, you know, players would value overall. And it really helped me. Obviously, I played for Wakamatsu, who's my bench coach now. I mean, he's one of my dear friends, and he's my right-hand man right now. So it's great to have that next to me. He's one of the better managers I played for. Bobby Cox, there's a bunch of guys. I mean, John Gibbons, you know, Carlos Tosca, there's so many of them. Tito actually played for Terry Francona in Boston for a month. So I got to see a lot of different ideas and different philosophies, different ways of doing things. So it really helped me create my own.
Chris, Tito's an all-timer. Did you spend enough time playing for him to get anything significant from him? Like, what was that month like? Is it only a month, or could you really learn something from him in that month's time?
I did, because we were, you know, it was the last month of the season, so we were in a playoff race. I think it was 2009, and, you know, we won the wild card that year. But, you know, just seeing how he handled the clubhouse, you know, listening, talking to the players, hearing their input about him, because I was curious. I was like, man, this guy's been successful. Like, what makes him successful? Why do these players pour their heart and soul out on the field for him? And I got to know that right away. Like, once I started talking to guys, I talked to Pedroia, you know, talked to a bunch of different players that they gave me their kind of input about it. And, you know, he made you feel, you know, it's amazing how easy he made it feel to play the game, and especially in a city like Boston. That's, you know, you got the media and you got everything. There's high expectations every year. And he kind of deflected all that and made the players feel like they can just go out and play their butts off. And I really appreciated that. And I actually felt really good. I didn't really play a whole lot. I didn't do much. But when I went out there, there wasn't an ounce of anxiety or nerves about playing, you know, here because of the way he made you feel. And I took a bunch of money from him playing cribbage. I do remember that. He wasn't, I guess he wasn't the luckiest cribbage player, but I got him a few times, and he had to write me a couple of checks at the end of that year.
Oh, dude, that's so good. That is so good. So was cribbage a thing in that clubhouse, or is cribbage a thing in a lot of clubhouses?
At the time, it was in a lot of clubhouses. I don't see it as much now. You don't see the board come out very often now for some reason. So that was the first thing I saw. You know, I got designated by Seattle and got picked up by Boston. And the first thing in Yankee Stadium, Boston, New York, I walk in. It was like 6 p.m., you know, 7 o'clock game. And I walk in there and Pedroia's playing Francona in cribbage. You know, and I was like, hey, like, how you doing?
What the hell is this?
Yeah,
that's amazing. Like, when you say the cribbage board doesn't come out very often, I've never seen it come out anywhere in any walk of life except for my father-in-law, and he was like 90.
Right? It's like backgammon. No, it is one of those things. I actually played a lot of cribbage as a younger big leaguer because it was kind of the game. You know, you just pull out the pegs and let it eat. But, yeah, for some reason, he loved that game, and him and Pedroia would play it all the time.
It, whatever the skip likes, man, I like it. I'd give anything to see Tito and Pedroia playing cribbage. That's good. Texas Rangers manager, he was named Andrew back in November, 54th round pick in 1994, and they are playing really good ball right now. Chris, great to have you on the show. Appreciate that conversation. Let's be sure we do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jim.
Great job. Chris Woodward. You can see why he has that gig. He is dialed in, locked in, and the Rangers are in second in the AL West. I love a good Michael Young story. Michael Young, man, he is so great. He is so well-respected, especially in the Ranger organization, but really all around Major League Baseball. And I mentioned, I said, I hate to ask you to pick up that name I just dropped, but we were texting back and forth. The Gauchos stick together. The Gauchos are a proud family. And not only that, we were talking, and I'm just being really transparent about this. Our baseball coach at UC Santa Barbara, Andrew Checkitz, is an unbelievable coach. Great coach. And he has been an amazing coach for UCSB. And there was a lot of speculation that USC was coming for him. Oregon was coming for him. Oregon State was coming for him.
Check it.
Understandably. Check it. That's not what Shaq meant when he was talking about that.